I'm sure many of you will remember the mysterious spate of elephant deaths occurring in Botswana between about March and June of last year. I'm not sure that there was ever an exact number count put to the elephants that died in the area north of Seronga village, but a low of 300, perhaps up to 500, maybe even more than that. And never a definitively established cause, although a couple of much spoken about theories. Well, in the last 3 days, there have been reports that fresh or relatively fresh elephant carcasses have been found in the Mombo camp area of the Moremi Game Reserve, and that's in the delta part of Botswana. And to discuss this now, we're joined on the line on Skype by Keith Lindsay, who knows a fair bit about elephants. Hello, Keith.
Hello there. How are you?
I am very well, and yourself?
Very good, yes.
It's very, very early days because, I mean, these reports have only been around for 72 hours or so. But is there reason to suspect that whatever killed these elephants might be what killed all the elephants of the middle of last year?
Well, John, as you say, it is very early days, and apparently teams from the Wildlife Department are up there at the moment inspecting and trying to find out what's going on. So we haven't really got much information. We've only got a few reports from the tourism concession around Mombo. But the one reason that we think at the moment the numbers are relatively small, I think, five is the number being talked about, but other people have speculated up to 100. But the only reason to think that it might be linked to the event that occurred in middle of last year was that the elephants that have been seen have fallen down on their chests, apparently, as they were walking. And this is exactly what we've seen last year.
And like last year, it appears that the tusks of these elephants were intact, which kind of wipes out the theory that this was induced by man in order to take the ivory.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, if someone is shooting an elephant or spearing them or killing them right on the spot, they will take the tusks out straight away. If they poison them, they have to find them later. So, it is possible that if elephants are poisoned intentionally, that, people may have not got to them before they're found. But, in the case last year, none of the 350 or 400 elephants had tusks removed. So it does seem like nobody, was trying to find them then. And similarly, this year is the same, again, very early. And it was in an area of a tourism camp. So maybe there would be a lot of eyes there watching. It does seem pretty unlikely that it was poachers.
So most likely it is an unnatural death. I mean, a natural death is an elephant getting to the end of his or her days. But these are elephants dying of an unknown cause. And there were two main theories, as you'll know better than I, Keith, for last year. One was that there was a viral or bacterial infection which had elephants as the host and as the target. And then the theory which seems to have gained most currency and which I most often see reported as fact rather than still as theory was the cyanobacterial harmful algal bloom, blue-green algae, in the water holes which the elephants use. But that's, maybe it's a theory with some legs, but it's not been, to the best of my knowledge, absolutely unequivocally established, has it?
Well, no, you're very right. The cyanobacteria, they sound pretty ominous because, the cyanide aspect, but actually that's just another name for blue-green algae. And they're very widespread all over the world, and most species are harmless to people and animals. But there are a few that produce some pretty bad poisons, neurotoxins, hemotoxins, other kinds of poisons. And there have been some examples of those causing mass die-offs, particularly and mostly in kind of marine areas, and a few in the U.S. in one of the Great Lakes. But again, that area was a bit unusual because of the runoff from agriculture causing the kind of buildup of nutrients and eutrophication, so a big bloom of algae there. There haven't really been that many documented examples of terrestrial animals getting killed by this. So it was pretty speculative. And, you know, I think that there's been a bit of a bandwagon on that one.
Okay, I mean, whether it was associated with the waterholes in any way, I was up in that sort of vague area, more to the Kwai, but not too far away from the Mombo area, and there's just so there was so much water, and after I was there, there was more rain, and so there's a heck of a lot of water. So elephants are not drinking from water holes. Elephants are just kind of sticking their trunks as they walk, and they're soaking up water. So the theory of an algal bloom with so much water around really doesn't hold for these deaths in any way.
That's absolutely right. I mean, even in the case of the die-off last year, it was never really established. Unfortunately, the samples that were taken were either taken from animals that had already decomposed pretty badly, or the samples themselves weren't preserved well enough to allow definitive analysis. And so just about all the possible explanations came up negative, which doesn't mean they didn't happen. It's just, you know, what they say, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. And in this case, in the case of the bacteria, the blue-green algae, they did find algae in some of the water holes that you mentioned, but they, I don't think they were necessarily the poisonous ones, so that doesn't prove really anything. But this time, there isn't even that smoking gun of water holes. You're right, there's water everywhere in the delta, and at this time of year, there's rainfall everywhere. So it does seem that these elephants certainly didn't die of an algae bloom.
One thing which does give some sense of hope that there might be a better chance of a definitive explanation with these latest deaths is that The authorities are there taking samples before decomposition, and it appears that maybe some lessons have been learned from last year, and that the process of collaboration between the government and conservation organizations is going to be closer, so that issue of samples not being stored properly, less likely to happen, so a better chance that decent lab analysis on freshly taken samples will give a cause of death this time round.
Well, you'd hope so. Yes, and certainly there's you know, a lot of reports, and there's a few papers been written. That one particularly good one with the group from the University of Pretoria, led by Rudy van Arda and his colleagues, very clearly lay out, you know, the different candidates and what needs to be done for the samples to preserve them so that they can be analyzed properly. I mean, as far as collaboration with research groups, there's one particular group there that had offered collaboration last time and again this time. It hasn't really been taken up, a group called Elephants Without Borders, which is unfortunate. I think the government would do better to collaborate with as many researchers as possible, and they may have their own reasons for doing that. The other problem, too, though, last time, and I hope it's better this time, is that when the government did send the samples out for different labs for analysis and then got the results back, the only information that anyone got was through very brief and not very informative press releases. So there was none of the reports were made public, so nobody could see what was done, any of the commentaries. And really, you know, to be able to understand what's going on, you have to see the information. So it was quite a lack of transparency, and I hope that that's better this time.
That's conservation biologist Dr. Keith Lindsay. Thanks for talking to us.